Okay, I would invite you to take your seats so we can get started. We have a packed agenda this afternoon before we go into our reception at the top of at 6 o'clock. So good afternoon and welcome to the 62nd annual conference of the International Catholic Stewardship Council. On behalf of our board chair, Margaret Catley, from the Diocese of Richmond, and all of the ICSC board members, it's my privilege to invite you here and welcome you. This is truly a moment of grace for us, and we pray that this is going to be a moment of grace for you as well, especially over the next 3 days as you join us. For those of you who don't know me, I used to have a little bit easier job practicing law. And once upon a time, the Archbishop of Detroit invited me to become the first Director of Stewardship and Development. I tried to resist as much as I could, but he prevailed upon me. He thought I'd be a quick study, even though I said the only thing I've ever done with fundraising, and I thought that's what he was asking me to do, is selling that world's famous chocolate candy. You remember that when I was in high school, Christian Brothers High School in Memphis, Tennessee. He said, well, I still think you would be able to take on this job. First of all, what I'd like you to do is just take over our annual appeal. When you're not doing that, I have this vision for a $100 million educational endowment for our Catholic families and Catholic school children. I said, well, your eminence. He said, wait, hold on. When you're not doing that, I want you to raise money for our seminary, Sacred Heart Major Seminary, the Chief Catechetical Center in the Archdiocese, forms men for the priesthood, and has a number of lay ministry programs, forms men for the permanent diaconate. He said, now they're going to give to the seminary when they're not going to give to my annual appeal. And hold up, wait a minute now. I also want you to go around to the philanthropies and the charitable philanthropies and other foundations in Southeast Michigan and help them understand how important it could be to invest in our social ministries. They're not going to buy into the Catholicity of what we do, but we all have a concern for the poor, the marginalized, and the most vulnerable. I said, well, Your Eminence. He said, wait up now. What I want you to do when you're not doing that is I want you to go around to the 326 parishes in the Archdiocese of Detroit and help them understand the true meaning of Christian stewardship in the Catholic Church. Well, I'm not in the habit of saying no to a cardinal archbishop, but I remember going home with that fear and trembling. My palms were sweating. My heart was beating wildly. I went home, sat in my living room, and I thought I would do what, you know, most of you would do, look for some consolation. So I took out my Bible. And I sat down and I opened it. I was hoping for a little bit of peace. And I closed my eyes because I didn't want to pick a page. I wanted the Holy Spirit to pick a page. So I just flipped through. I put my finger down on a passage. I opened my eyes and looked down and it read, "And Judas went out and hung himself." And I've been in trouble ever since. And those of you who are laughing, you know, because you've been in that position as well. Again, this is an annual feast for us. Sometimes it's a movable feast. We have a smaller group, a more intimate group. That means we just get to know each other better, right? On Monday and Tuesday, the phone was ringing off the wall with people who thought that the apocalypse was coming to New Orleans. I think most of them were in the upper Midwest. So we had a few cancellations, but we're here. We're glad you're here and everyone is safe and sound. The hospitality here by this hotel is amazing. This is our fifth time to be here in 25 years. So we love coming back to New Orleans. For those of you who have been here a couple of times, you may remember we had a little bit of an adventure in the year 2004 when Hurricane Ivan came to this city. But again, it's truly a moment of grace for us to have you here and to host. I've got a few more remarks to make, to give for some of you who are new, as sort of an orientation. But for those who've been here before, can I ask you to stand up, please? For those of you veterans of our conferences, would you please stand up? Can I ask you to turn to the person who is sitting down and welcome them to our ICSC family, please? Let's show them some good hospitality. Show them some love. Introduce yourselves. Let them remember your name. Remember their names. Let them know that we're to help them. That's great. Thank you very much. Allow me now to invite our chair, Margaret Cately, to come up and offer her welcome to you. Margaret?
Thank you. Well, he welcomed y'all on behalf of me, so I'm going to welcome y'all on behalf of him and the board of directors. I love New Orleans, and I don't care if we have to, you know, tap dance around hurricane, yes or no. It's just, there's no better place. And I know that, you know, you like me, might have had a few meals so far. I've been here since Thursday. I've had shrimp and grits. I've had fried oysters. I had shrimp and grits. I had shrimp Creole, and I had fried oysters. So while I think we heard the theme is called to be saints, I'm doing my own little program of eat, pray, love. And it's working out for me so far. But seriously, the next few days, we're going to do a serious program where we learn, we grow, and we share. And trust me, having done this not 39 times like Jim Kelly, but a few, 10 plus, 12 maybe, you will go home with so many ideas, especially you first-timers. You will just be maybe a little overwhelmed, but as they say, it's like drinking from a water hose. It is really inspiring to hear and learn from each other. Jim is going to tell you about the Whova app. You're going to be walking around on your phones, figuring out where to go, where's where. You might also want to use your GPS because you're going to need it to find your way around this hotel. I've been here since Thursday. I still am not sure where is what. What's the lobby? I think there are like three lobbies, so I just warn you. But with that, I don't want to take any more time. I'm going to turn it over to my buddy, Father Sean Prince, who's going to talk a little bit about our liturgies of the week.
Thank you, Madam Chair. one of the great things that we'll have an opportunity for while we're here is, of course, many opportunities for prayer and to gather for liturgy, as we just did a few moments ago. In your program, on page 12, it does list all of those opportunities that are available for us. Here in this room, the Empire Ballroom, is where we'll have liturgies each day. So the times are listed in there. Tomorrow and Tuesday, they'll be at 5:15. And those, for any priest that wish to vest for those liturgies, you'll still vest over in this room as well. There'll also be a sacred place for prayer and reflection as well. That's in Strand 1. So if you use your map, you can find that. It's a room that's really set aside for a quiet meditation. There's also the Blessed Sacrament in the room as well. And that's open from 7 a.m. to 4:30 tomorrow and Tuesday. So please feel free to utilize that. And praise God, the Sacrament of Reconciliation will also be offered. That's in Strand 2. If you have attempted to use the escalator here, you will need the Sacrament of Reconciliation. I said more words that were foul the first time I did it. I was not in a state of grace. But anyway, I asked Margaret to hear my confession. She denied, but anyway. So the sacrament will be offered in Strand 2 on Monday from 1 to 2. That's after our plenary session tomorrow, which is during lunchtime. And then it will also be offered at 7:30 a.m. on Tuesday morning. And then finally, there will be the rosary that will be recited and prayed as well. That's in Strand 1. Again, just pull out your book and find the map in there and the times listed for that each morning at 7 a.m. to 7:30, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So while we'll have great opportunities for many, many sessions to learn more about stewardship, as well as how we can be good stewards and how we can utilize those gifts in our parishes or in our dioceses or archdioceses, there's also time for us to gather in prayer, which, of course, is central to our faith as well. As we know and the Church teaches us, everything stems from the Eucharist. It's the source and summit of the Church's power, and everything that we do flows from that. So let us remember to be grounded in that throughout this week. And thank you all very much for being here. If it's your first time, have a wonderful time. If this is your second year, your 39th or 40th year, I guarantee you there's something that you will learn and take away this year as well. So I think now I turn it back to Michael, and we'll go from there. So have a great conference, everyone.
You know, it. For those of you who like football, there's a story about the great football coach Vince Lombardi of the Green Bay Packers, who won five national championships with that team. And every year at the very beginning of training camp, he tells people, we're going through the fundamentals. We are going through. I don't care if you are a rookie. I don't care if you've been a 15-year veteran. We're going through the fundamentals. And he picked up a football and he said, this is a football. And one of the wits on that team said, hey, coach, you're going too fast for us. Well, for those of you who've been here, you're familiar with what the fundamentals are here, but let's help our newcomers understand it as well. You have that wonderful app, Hoova, our conference platform. Many of you are familiar with it. For those of you who are like me and who are not as adept at it, we still have a what we call a companion guide to Hoova, and you can see many of the things that Hoova also offers. This room here will not only be for the liturgies, but also for our plenary sessions on Monday and Tuesday, beginning at 11:45. You'll see meals if you're on page 12 of this of companion. You can see the lunch and plenary sessions right here, beginning at 11:45 and going to 1 o'clock. So here's where we're going to come and have our plenary session and our meals. We also want to support those exhibitors who come and support us. We have almost 50 with us this week. They are downstairs where you registered, just across the hall practically. It's the elite hall from the registration desk. So really it's rather easy to navigate yourself when you're in the conference program and the sessions, because everything is here on this floor. Everything is here, except for the exhibit hall, where we break with the exhibit halls down on the first floor. So pretty easy to navigate your way. As far as the conference sessions are concerned, just so we can remind ourselves, we did have to make some room changes. If you've got the Hoova app, no problem. If you you can see the electronic signage outside the sessions, and many of you at the registration desk received a new a flyer that gives you where those sessions are located. But for those of you who are new, let me go through with them a minute. If you look on page 13 of your companion guide or on the Hoova, Stewardship, where do we start, is really for those of you who are beginning, who have no idea how to spell stewardship, and you want to understand a little bit more about it. That is in Strand 11. It's one of our larger session rooms, Strand 11. And then for those who have had stewardship introductions in your parish, you know what it's about, you understand the basic spirituality of stewardship. It goes a little, it's kind of stewardship advanced studies, if you will. It, you get to hear about some cutting edge things, a little bit more, contemporary, practices like engagement, of, parishioners, more evangelization, and that is in Strand 12. The next one is kind of an elective track, if you will. It helps us think about how evangelization informs stewardship, family informs stewardship, how liturgy informs stewardship, and we call that living stewardship, called to be saints, and that's in Strand 13. Then we move around just a little bit, but again, on the same floor, we have a summit for parish administrators and business managers, and our hope is that we have some meaningful and substantive content for those of you who exercise stewardship over the temporalities in your parishes. We have a Spanish language track. And if I could ask Jessica, come here just a second. For those of you who are more comfortable with Spanish, we're going to have a little bit mini version of this orientation right over here. Jessica Orzechowski works for the Archdiocese of Detroit, and we have been friends and colleagues for about 22 years. And the only way I can communicate with our Spanish language members is through Jessica Orzechowski. So I'm going to turn it over to her for the next 45 seconds.
Buenas tardes. Él entiende más de lo que dice. Solamente está dando la orientación, entonces para los que deseen quedarse al último, yo voy a estar ahí y entonces ya vamos por una orientación en español, ¿okay? Gracias.
Gracias, Jessica. So then what we do, then we go to the tracks that are more, you're invited to go to most any session in any of the tracks, but the next tracks are more specifically designed for diocesan officers and foundation executives. And so track 6, new trends. So those are the cutting edge things that we're looking at in the areas of diocesan stewardship and development. And that is, if you're taking notes, if you're not looking at Hoover, that's Bolden 6, the Bolden 6 room. The next one is more of advanced studies in diocesan development and stewardship. It's called Transforming Catholic Philanthropy, and that is in Bolden 5. For those of you who are involved in foundations or are more interested in Catholic foundations, it's track 8, and that is in Bolden 1. For those of you who are interested in Catholic school philanthropy and fundraising, that is in track 9, which is Bolden 2. And then we have an extra track for our strategic partners who come and be with us, who have expertise in different areas of philanthropy, and that is in track 10. So at 6 o'clock, we will open the doors to the Elite Hall and allow everybody to come in for our opening reception. You get to network with those. One thing that we do have, this kind of fun that we do with the exhibitors, is our raffle program. It allows our exhibitors to get to be known. It allows you to win some really awesome prizes, from perhaps a Starbucks card to earbuds to an iPad, or perhaps 3 nights lodging and registration to the next conference. So if you're interested in that, there is a raffle form in your bag. And for the hour reception that we have, if you want to be considered for the raffle, which is going to take place on Monday afternoon and Tuesday afternoon, go around to the various exhibitors and get them to initial your form. We'll take that form, we'll put it in our box, and we will conduct our raffle. So that's, again, that's kind of a fun thing to do. Again, the welcome reception is from 6 to 7, and we have breaks on Monday and Tuesday. We also record the sessions for you. They are audio recordings, but they're very, very popular. And down by the registration desk, there is our partner, Hutch Recordings, and they will sell you one or two or however many you want. You get a discount if you just take the entire conference of sessions itself. So they're available for that as well. Conference badges. Just one note about conference badges. I'm multicolored up here. As we know, conference badges are just good hospitality, right? So people can see who you are, and it's better to greet people. Also, you can't get into anything without these badges. So make sure you wear your badges around the conference. We also will have an evaluation form for you through our digital site, SurveyMonkey, and we really welcome your comments. We do read those as we prepare for the next conference. What else is there for us to help them with their orientation needs? Oh, the we have a parish fair. For those of you who are in parishes, we have a couple of our past Archbishop Murphy Award winners will be in the exhibit hall. And you can go and talk to them and look at their materials and find out many of the things that they are doing. I think that's all I have that particular piece of business. And the next thing I would like to do is to ask that we have Tom Lilly and his bride come up, if you would, please. Or Tom. Tom is the 2024 recipient of the St. Joseph Stewardship Award for Distinguished Service. We offer that award to those who we hold up as models of stewardship for us. Tom has been involved in stewardship formally with the church, right, Tom? For over 30 years with the Diocese of Owensboro. He was on the very beginning with Bishop McGrath in Owensboro, who was on the original drafting committee of the pastoral letter on stewardship. As a matter of fact, if you have looked at the pastoral letter on stewardship, he is quoted in the very first chapter. His life, along with his wife, they have been wonderful models of stewardship, both with ICSC, in their diocesan life, and in their community. So can you join me in giving a round of applause to Tom Lilly?
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Somewhere around the end of 1990, early 1991, I got a call from a friend. He called to warn me. He said, Tom, you're going to get a phone call from the bishop. His family was close to the bishop. And he said, I know you're really dedicated in what you do. I know you're really loyal to what you're doing right now. He said, but he wants to talk to you about something he's doing with the diocese. And he potentially you might transition into something with, might be a little bigger. What I was doing was trying to get a great routine for a Catholic high school in an effort of development, help another Catholic high school, and we were trying to get a campaign off the ground, blue ribbon committees and databases and all the things that you do. And the Catholic school, oh yeah, I was also coaching the freshman football team. So he said, you know, this might be something better for you and your family, but there's more to it. So as he's talked, I thought, okay, this is what this sounds like. I've got the burden of one school on my back. Now I'm going to have 17 Catholic schools on my back. I'm already volunteering in my parish. Now there's going to be 72 parishes that I'm going to be responsible for financial burdens as well. Then there's diocesan ministries that will probably set me back some too. So I didn't go into the meeting with as good of an attitude maybe as I should have. But I never met a bishop. And they called the office and he asked me to come by. And 2 weeks later, I got directions to Bishop McRae's. He had a little shotgun duplex. He lived in on a very poor side of Owensboro. And I went into the place and I was shaking, a little nervous like I am now when you're in front of a lot of people, but you're in front of a bishop for the first time. I was set back a little bit and there's a little cordiality. Mr. Bishop Tom Lilly said, come on in, Tom, why don't you sit down? He said, I want to talk to you a little bit, but I've got Good Friday services in a little while, so I want to get through what I have to say. So just hearing that, I thought, well, Bishop, I can kind of save you a lot of time what you have to say. True story. I said, look, I haven't slept in 2 weeks. This has been such a burden on me. I can't sleep at night. And I've done nothing but pray all day, every day about what you're going to talk to me about. He said, whoa, whoa, whoa. He said, you came here to listen to me. So let me talk. He said, but before I tell you what I want to tell you, let me just tell you this. I've been praying about this position for a lot longer than 2 weeks for the person to put in it. And I'm going to offer you this position. And if you don't take this position, I'm a little worried about who you're praying to. And that's a true story. Bishop McRae was very hard to say no to. And I listened to him and came to fall deeply in love with him, as did my entire family. He was a great man. He lived it. And he changed the course of my life in so many different ways, all the way up until his death. I'll also tell you what he did to me that changed my life was he introduced me to an organization. I would have floundered in that position. I didn't really have good concepts of stewardship, the faith dimensions of stewardship. So he introduced me to an organization that I felt like I was adopted into. Linnell and I drove to Jacksonville, Florida to meet Dutch and Barbara Schultz. And we spent time with Dutch and Barbara. And I'm down there and there's just all that you got to get done. He said, don't worry about it. There's this kid up in Charlotte named Jim Kelly that's doing some cool stuff. And there's a guy off your legal issues, a guy in Detroit. And he just goes through these individuals. And then I get back and find out we got a Region 5, very active group in our region that just adopted me and really supported me. Again, gave me direction, helped me prioritize, establish routines, but held me accountable to doing what I'm supposed to be doing in the diocese, as did Bishop McRae. So it was a great gift to me in so many different ways, and it continues to be such a great gift to me. The new director of stewardship, Valerie Vessels, in our office, passed on the baton, who's carrying it on in our own diocese. But I still keep in touch, and I've kept in touch with the organization. Even though I did have a 15-year sabbatical in a couple of other industries, I still brought all those elements of faith to those positions, and it helped me govern, and it helped me, and it served me in so many different ways. So I really feel guilty about this. I want to break all this up and give all of you a piece of this award because you're the reason that I'm up here. I couldn't have done it without you and what you represent in this organization. So thank you all very much. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mike.
We're cutting that award up right now for him down in the exhibit hall, and we'll give it to you and take some photos with you as well with our leadership. You know, it's people like Tom that I see in the audience who keep us going throughout the year. Let me just say that when you leave the conference, ICSC doesn't leave you. For diocesan directors, you know we have those monthly ICSC OSV webinars. Of particular interest. They're the coffee talks. For parishes, beginning this October, we're going to start a Zoom meeting series for you where we will offer a topic of the month and allow you to exchange ideas and ask questions and try to help us all be pointed in a good direction. You can use the monthly e-bulletins any way you like. Embrace them. Send them out to your parishes as your own. They're for you. And now we have more than 3,000 items, resources on the website. By January 1, we will double those resources. I've had people tell me from parishes and dioceses that they live in those resources because they are so rich, and they all come from you. They all come from dioceses and parishes around the country and beyond. So if you're everyone who is a member of ICSC should have a credentials to get into the website, and if you don't, if they are hiding in your spam folder or something, please reach out to us and we will help you connect to them. Speaking of prayer, I wanted to mention one other thing. In the manual, the companion guide, and on your Hoover app, we do have a conference prayer that we pray together in every session for the 2 days that we are here and on Wednesday. And we'll pray that before we leave and retire to the exhibit hall. Speaking of those people who are heroes of ICSC, I'd like now to invite Jim Kelly to come up and talk about them. Jim?
Thank you, Michael. Excuse the notes, but I wrote this right before Mass. I want to talk to a couple of folks in a couple of parishes. In our work in carrying out stewardship as a way of life, we know those who live stewardship have their lives changed. They get more connected to Christ, and they get more engaged in their parish communities and the community at large. We're always looking for models, as Michael said. Tom's a great one for individuals. We're looking for parishes, though, that also do extraordinary work in stewardship. We want to find out how they do their work, want to get their ideas, get their materials, learn from them. We do better when we imitate them. Those parishes are called Archbishop Murphy Award winners. ICSC honors one parish each year with that award. 8 weeks ago, and then again last week, we lost two extraordinary pastors who parishes received the Murphy Award. Monsignor Anthony Marcaccio, pastor of St. Pius X and Church in Greensboro, who passed July 19th, and Father Drew Wood, pastor of St. Lawrence Church in Sugar Land, Texas, who passed away last Thursday, September 12th. I loved Monsignor, who was one of our pastors. And I would have loved Father as well. St. Pius won the Murphy Award in 2009 and St. Lawrence in 2019. Both Monsignor Marcaccio and Father Wood were beloved and served their parishes for over two decades. Monsignor for 24 years and Father for 22 years. Each of them actively participated in our annual conference and its liturgical celebrations and were speakers at the conference. Each brought 5 to 10 parishioners each year. Those parish leaders are here today. Can the St. Pius folks stand up? The St. Pius folks here, stand up. Great to see you guys. We're praying for y'all. Can the St. Lawrence folks stand up? Are the St. Lawrence folks here all in the back? We're praying for you too. You know, in talking with leaders of both parishes today, this afternoon, it's uncanny how similar the two pastors were. They both won Murphy Awards. They both spoke at conferences. They both have been 20-plus years in the parish. They both loved people, and here in the conversations today, they both noticed people. They both remembered people's names. They both invited people in. They both met people where they were. They both were very personal. And it's ironic that both parishes are presenting this week at the Congress, the conference here. St. Lawrence presents Monday at 3:30 in session 31, and St. Pius Tuesday at 3:30, session 72. I know that you at St. Pius and you at St. Lawrence are sad, but I want to give you a perspective and give you work to do. I think that perspective will help you feel more grateful, and the work will keep you busy. St. Pius, you had Monsignor Mercatio for over 8,700 days as your pastor. Just unbelievable. And St. Lawrence, you had Father Wood for over 8,000 days as your pastor. Again, unbelievable. So I want you to be grateful for the gift of days. That's a big deal. But I want you to go to work when you get home to build on the legacy they both lived. Continue to get better at living stewardship and living people's way of life in your parish, but also remain a model for the parishes to follow. So let's continue to remember those two pastors and what they did. Let's honor by doing some great stewardship work. Thank you all.
Sorry about that. Got distracted by what I was saying.
Apologize. So what we want to do is as soon as the prayers are over, we want to go to the Elite Hall downstairs. It'll take you half an hour to get there, but it's across from registration tables where you were. So as soon as we have the closing prayers, go down there. It opens at 6. So ironically, if you look on page 3 of your program, we'll do the conference prayer. I'll do it in English, and then Jessica, is she here to do it in Spanish? Carlos, you can come and do it in Spanish in a minute after I do it in English. But notice that this is Monsignor Mercatio's prayer that he wrote from St. Pius, so I'm grateful that Michael included that. So let's pray in English, and then I'll give it to Carlos to pray in Spanish. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry and to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we ever be mindful of the needs of our communities. And may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us to respond in a way that brings hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Dios amoroso y misericordioso, te pedimos que abras nuestros corazones a la vida y el misterio de tu Hijo y que respondamos al llamado de ser sus discípulos, que nuestra respuesta esté arraigada en el Evangelio, que seamos siempre conscientes de las necesidades de nuestras comunidades y que nuestra corresponsabilidad fluya de un profundo sentido de gratitud por tus muchas bendiciones. Por el don del Espíritu Santo, danos poder e inspiración para responder de una manera que traiga esperanza a los demás y revele el amor que nos llega a través de Jesucristo. Te lo pedimos en su nombre, que es Señor, por los siglos de los siglos. Amén.
I think what Jim was saying is the meeting is adjourned.